You're listening to VFN TV highlights at VFNKB.com. Enjoy.
So, in regards to what would you say to somebody right now that they are in that place? They can't describe it, because how does a fatherless child know? Well, we took, for 10 years, we took children that are fatherless to the wilderness to spend time with a mentor that the boys described as Disney World, just being with all these men. And I was sitting by the campfire one night, bush tired, everybody was in bed, just so the leaders were sitting around the fire, and this little small kid, fatherless kid, gets up by my knee, climbs all the way up, lays on my chest. I'm kind of laid out like this on this thing, on this chair. He puts his head on my chest, and then he looks up at me. Then he puts his head on his chest and he looks up at me. And it's like, I mean, God was just ministering to this child, yeah. Right?
And to you.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And he's like, he just wanted to know, mm-hmm. what's it like to be close to a father? Mm-hmm. And so the next day we're having this big tunnel of affirmation. We've got, you know, hundreds and hundreds of men in this tunnel, and the boys are walking down these tunnels, and the men are going, I bless you, and God loves you, God's got a plan for your life, and they're crying, the boys are crying. That little boy comes up there, and I'm on the stage, having to walk back and forth with the mic, and just jumps in my arms, and I carry him as I'm going back and forth. I'm like, God, we're so missing this. This is all he wants from us, is to be, you know, John laid his head on Jesus' chest so he could mm-hmm. hear the heartbeat of mm-hmm. God. Mm. But he also could hear the voice of God. I mean, that place to be between those two places, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's like we're doing all these other things, but we're not. It's like the enemy's stealing that intimacy away from us, stealing fathering away, stealing any value in it. People say, well, I don't want a father. It's like the fathers don't want to be a father. I mean, it's not like you're the only one that doesn't want it. And it's like everybody's running from that role, and the things that they're doing is not satisfying them. You're coming back to the role that God's called us to be in. But there's such a huge reward in being family. Spending that time together, being a father, stick, stay, and stand, even when it stinks, because in the long run, you know, it'll pay off for everyone.
I think a lot of people are driven by ambition because they didn't have that affirmation. They didn't have the security of a father's love. And so they're trying to prove to themselves and to the world that they're worthy or that they're important. I think having a father, a good father, and a good mother brings you security without having to earn security in your accomplishments.
That's important.
And you don't do those things to be secure, you get them because you are secure. Mm-hmm. And there's a huge difference. And in my belief, we live in a very insecure world because of the family dissolution.
And it's the goal of the adversary to destroy
the
family.
Is.
It's interesting that he says in Malachi 4, 5, and 6 that before the great and dreadful day of the Lord comes, he's going to deal with that issue. But it's not a definite thing, because he says, I'll turn the hearts of the fathers to the sons and the sons to the fathers, or else, which means there's a probability.
Smite the earth with the curse, yeah.
You know, and so that's how important it is that the earth literally responds to the fathers not being in their role. Wouldn't you say, and based on what he's saying, is that there could be consequences to the earth.
It is. Derek Prince said one time in my hearing, if it wasn't for that verse, the old covenant would end with the word curse. Mm. That it's the restoration of fathers and sons that keep grace alive, that keep hope alive. And I believe that's true. The dissolution of fathers and sons and children, but in sons particularly, where they don't pass on identity and security, I think causes people to strive for that, sometimes in very bad ways.
Ted Turner, if you heard about Ted Turner, when he, some of the reports are when he first established the big network and he achieved all this great success, he just blurts out into the boardroom with everybody there. He says, and I don't know if his dad was there or not, but he just said, "Now, Dad, what do you think of this?"
Well,
you think about that, all that success, if that was his response was, how does my dad think about this now?
I think his father committed suicide,
don't
didn't
know.
He?
Sounds
like I want to think that's true, but in any case, he definitely had a father problem.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. How many senators, how many congressmen, how many leaders, how many pastors, that their motivation is
to prove,
something. Mm-hmm. Where is God in all that?
And that's right. And that's the only, I don't want to say substitute, it's the only alternative. Mm-hmm. Because you can't help it if your father wasn't a good father.
Correct.
It's not your fault.
Right.
So you need to find an answer to that or forever be trying to prove who you are without it.
Right.
And I agree.
And that's a scary thing, isn't it, for someone who's, because authority, fathers just, not that they're moving authority, but just being, I was in law enforcement for 10 years. People who didn't have a father role model, I fathered basically as a deputy, I would come in and handle things. But they feared, instead of having a confident relationship that is okay, I'm here to protect you, mm-hmm. they had a different viewpoint of that, and they were kind of scared of authority. Mm-hmm. Or had problems with the teachers, had problems with any kind of authority. They saw it as an offense instead of they need to be defensive against it instead of being it is for them. God's for them.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Right. Right. I think insecurity does cause defensiveness right through life, and we defend ourselves against things that are there trying to help us.
Right.
Because we're not secure enough to hear and receive.
So what would you say to that man right now that's watching and he's thinking, is there really such thing as a relationship with somebody that cares about me? Not what I do, not that I'm a business person or a pastor. And it's almost like somebody giving up on fathering because they had a bad father situation. And they said by the time they were 12, they're like, just forget that, I'm not going there no more. So what would you say to that person right there? You know, because they're longing for that, but they just kind of like, is that even a real thing?
Well, it's no wonder that we call God Father, because A, He is our Father, He created us, but B, there's that place in us that we all want a Father, not just a peer,
right,
but a Father, mm-hmm. someone who is a host, who provides, who cares, guides, disciplines. We're created that way. And we can know that that's a reality because some have it. Mm-hmm. And mostly they have it because they were taught the Word of God, they were taught about God, or taught through a good father. And I know that I have that relationship with some guys. You can't have it with everybody.
Correct. Uh-huh.
But I have it with some guys, mm-hmm. and some ladies where I have spiritually fathered them. Mm-hmm. And I would hate to think of my life without either having it or giving it.
Right.
Because that's my life.
Right.
My entire life is I had good parents, they helped me. I became a parent, I helped my children, I became a spiritual parent. That's just been my life. I know it's possible, and frankly, it's a whole lot more secure. Yeah. We're all gonna face difficulties.
Right.
How much better it is to face it with people who help you through it and who help you make sense to life.
Right. They care about you and the process,
not
what you're doing.
I have dear friends right now that are going through tough times. Mm-hmm. As my friends get older, that's going to happen. Mm-hmm. As I get older, it's going to happen. But we're not alone.
Right.
And we're not stuck off somewhere way away from our kids, mm-hmm. Where we don't really know anybody.
Right.
I've seen that. But we have a relationship. I think it's not only possible, it's the only way to live. God sets the solitary in families, Psalm 68, I believe. Mm-hmm. He puts us, He wants us to be in a place like that.
Right.
So I would encourage anybody Yeah, you know, frankly, I think the reason a lot of kids are in gangs is because they're looking for that.
Somebody cares about them, somebody
that's
stand
right.
up for them, yeah.
And they fight for each other.
Right.
And that's unfortunate, but that the church needs to provide that. Godly young people need to provide that.
You know, Francis Chan said, you know, he had a gang member get saved. He, when he joined the church, he thought, which was his, the time he was going to, he had a traditional church, and he said that he expected the loyalty and the connectivity in the family when he went into the traditional expression of church. And
it wasn't there.
And so he longed for the gang life, not for the crime or anything,
just
for that family element that was there. And that's when Aunt Frances is going, so I think something is wrong. Right. But he's like, what are we doing?
Right.
What are we doing here? If the gang has more of the attributes of the kingdom and the family.
I was in a gang, and they would fight for each other.
And in Louisiana, that had to be a tough gang.
Yeah, but this was in Alabama too.
Okay.
In my teens.
Okay.
And it wasn't like a gangster gang downtown.
Right.
We did some things that weren't right, but we had a code. We were together. There were fights, but there are guys that would lay their lives down. I didn't see the church that way.
Right.
Even though I was a member and a born-again Christian, I didn't see the church that way. And so I had friends, some of whom were, some of whom were not, but we were tied together. And we fought for one another.
Right, instead of against one another.
Yeah.
So here I am being raised up in a traditional church, and I'm going through all those life cycles that you go through when you're young, and just all the ups and downs, and not one man ever reached out for me in the church, right? So later on in ministry, I'm ministering in Denmark, and I'm talking, you know, all these guys, I'm like, there's nobody reached out for me. Nobody reached out, nobody said anything. I'm like, where were you? Where were you? And this Danish dude stands up, and he goes, I'm right here, brother. I'm right here, right? But we don't realize it's like men, the enemy attacks men so hard that he's told he has no value. He's told he has nothing to offer. Now he's called masculine or what is it, toxic or something. But he's always been under attack. He's always been made to feel out of place, but he's not. It's just an attack of the enemy. That your words are so powerful. People are in their 40s still trying to get over what you said. You know, it's powerful what a father does and a father says.
Yeah, the enemy wants to get rid of men and women too, but he wants to destroy leadership wherever it is. Yeah. He wants to destroy it.
Yeah.
I heard a story about a pastor got a letter.
Uh-oh.
And it was just ripping him up. And the writer said, how come you can't tell the truth? Why don't you tell it like it is? Why don't you have the courage to stand up and say it, signed anonymous? And
I thought that was my letter. No, signed anonymous, anonymous, right?
So you get it, you know, you get it from a lot of different places.
Right.
But we're all looking for people that have our back.
Right.
And really do have it, not in the back, but have it.
Or the chest nowadays. I think it's just right. It's like this now. It used to be the day it was like your back.
Now
I was seeing people right. I was like, oh my gosh, you just stabbed that man in his chest. And they don't even know it happened, you know. I'm like, oh my goodness.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the VFN TV and the daily radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNKB.com. And don't forget about our VFNKB app. No matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share it with your friends. Connect and sign up for the next webinar or attend our next summit at VFNKB.com. VFN TV and the daily radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light.